Yeah, I'll just turn things over to you.
Thank you. Well, I'm so very thankful for being here. I'm trying to look at this and talk to you at the same time, but I'm so thankful for your faithful support and, you know, your story about you having ice cream reminds me of my wife. Anytime I come to Canada, she says, "Get Hershey Kisses." So I went to, I got bags of them and put them in my parents' freezer. So, you know, even when I left, they would be still nice and fresh. And anyways, I left them in the freezer and my mom got to eat them all. So I hope you guys enjoy your ice cream. And, but it is a privilege to be a missionary in Ireland. I think I told my testimony here before, did I?
Yes.
Okay, well, I bet you don't remember. I shouldn't say that. I don't know why I say that, but I grew up saying it. Sorry about that. I would say that you don't remember. Who remembers my testimony?
I remember
parts of it. Well, let me tell you about myself. I'm what they call an Air Force brat. Who knows what an Air Force brat is? Yeah, okay. Well, my dad was in the Air Force, and we moved every couple of years. And I never heard the gospel growing up. And we ended up living in Brunswick. And my brother, who got saved, he actually got saved in prison, said, "Come live with me." And I was like 17 years old, and I wanted a summer job. And he said, "Come, and you can get a summer job for me." So I hitchhiked from New Brunswick to Winnipeg, Manitoba. I wouldn't suggest anybody do that now, but that was a long time ago, 1977. But when I got there, my brother said to me, "Come to church." I didn't know that was part of the deal, but I went to church, and he said, "Well, don't worry about it. Our preacher never preaches about money or anything like that." And that Sunday, the preacher preached about tithing. But you know what? It didn't bother me a bit. But at the end of the service, for the first time in my life, I heard the gospel. I didn't understand, but he said, "If you're not saved, you're going to go to hell." And it was a big church, like maybe 700 people. And I felt like everybody was looking at me. He is the fellow going to hell. And I had my eyes closed, and I remember the preacher saying, "Well, ask the person next to you if they're not saved, if they would come down the aisle." And I thought, if my brother asked me, I'd go down. But he never asked me. But I just held on, and I was literally shaking, holding on to the pew in front of me, and we were right at the very back. I hardened my heart, but you know, I thank God he's long suffering. And God didn't give up on me. My brother kept witnessing to me. I'm going home on the bus, and a lady across the way from me said, "Yeah, here's somebody gave me this and I don't want it. You want to read it?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" I said, "What are you going to do on a bus anyway? You might as well do something then." And it was all about Jesus Christ and how he died for me. And my brother kept witnessing to me. And finally, he said, "You know, Jesus died for your sins." And I said to him, "How can one man die for another man's sins?" It didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand. And he explained to me how Jesus Christ was God the Son. And when he died, he didn't die for any sin that he did. He died for every sin that I've done, or ever will do, and every sin that anybody's ever done. And so he said, I said to him, "Well, finally, well, how do I get saved? How do I get my sins forgiven?" And he said, "Just ask." And that night, in the summer of 1977, I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul and forgive my sins. And I'm so thankful he did. I ended up joining the Canadian Navy, and was transferred to the North Pole and various places, but I ended up being transferred to Bermuda. Somebody had to do it for Canada, you know. It's a tough job, but anyways, when I was in Bermuda, I asked for early release, and they said, "Why?" And I said, "Because God called me to preach." And so I moved to Dryden, Ontario, and became a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I got training, Bible training, and then I ended up working in a Christian school. And then in 1984, I moved to Ireland. I worked in Dublin with another missionary for about a year. Then I moved to Northern Ireland, took work for a missionary with me on furlough, and then I moved down to the city of Cork. And when I was in Cork, I had a dog. I was a single fellow. I had a dog, and it got real sick. It got distemper because I didn't pay for its injections. But I nursed the dog back to health. I had it in the bathtub and I looked really good care of it and I managed to get back to health. And I went to take the dog for a walk and the neighbor lady went to pet the dog and I said, well, you better not pet the dog because he's been sick. She said, well, I got a book about dogs. So would you like to borrow it? I thought nothing of it. I said, okay, I'll borrow the book. And she said, I'll be back in a few days and you can give me the book back. And I thought nothing of it, but she went on her way and I had a tremendous burden for her soul, and I was really, really praying for this lady, and I couldn't wait for her to get back, and I just had to witness to her. So when she got back, I saw her car, and the red car come, and gave her about 15 minutes, and I just had to go, and I gave her the book back, and then I said, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. I said, if you just died today, where would you go? And she was shocked that somebody had asked her that question, because she was off work because she had a scoliosis. You know what a scoliosis is? Anybody know what a scoliosis is?
Scoliosis
is like a biscuit kind of thing? Yeah. Well, she bought one of them at a shop, and she went back to work, and her lunch hour, she was eating it, put in a glass, and cut the inside of her throat. And the blood was coming up, and she was rushed to the hospital, and she thought she was going to die. And she said, God, I'm afraid of that. Oh, please don't let me die. So when I asked her if she was to die or she was shocked because that's exactly what she was thinking about. And she said to me, of course, she said, it's all Romans Catholic would say. What would they say? Did anybody know? They would go to purgatory. They believe that there's a place between hell and then you have purgatory and then you go to heaven. And they believe that you go there in purgatory and you pay for all your sins. And I told her there's no such place as purgatory in the Bible. I said, you can read from cover to cover, and there's no place called purgatory. I said, if you die, you'll either go to heaven or hell, and if you're not saved, you will go to hell. And so she realized she would go to hell. And I gave her a tract, and then I gave her a Bible, and she started reading, and then I gave her a cassette tape. Have you ever seen a cassette tape? No, okay. I gave her a cassette tape. Hell, it's not worth it. You know, nothing's worth going to hell for. You know, sometimes in a family, there could be somebody that's not really saved, but everybody in the family thinks they're saved, and you're afraid to get saved because, well, mom and dad thought I was saved, or my brother's daughter was saved. It's not worth going to hell for. Nothing's worth going to hell for. And so, she listened to that tape, and she was really under a lot of conviction. She was afraid to close her eyes at night because she knew she was on her way to hell. So this went on for about 2 weeks, and I went to Stuart, and then I led her to the Lord, and then later I asked her another question that she married me, and she married me. And so God has blessed with 5 children, and my wife was supposed to be with me. I would really like it. She's, as we say, the better half. But I'm sorry she can't be here. But your church reminds me for many years, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, it's just me and my family, but God's blessed. And I want to show you some of the work, and so I guess we can thank you, Pastor Dutton, my sound system working. I don't know, it wouldn't work properly, but we got a thing. Maybe should we close one light off or can you see okay?
We got to figure out. We tried plugging it in, but instead we just brought the microphone next to the speaker on the laptop, so we're good. But yeah, you can begin the sound light.
Try not to knock it over.
Okay, that's the easy good enough now. I'm going to try to probably just focus that. I guess that was about focus because it's going to get.
Okay.
Mr. McFadden, your missionary is Ireland.
Yes.
The family of Ireland is located in northwest of Europe and is separated from the neighboring island of Great Britain by the Irish Sea and the North Channel. The island's geography comprises relatively low-lying mountains surrounding the central plain, with a number of navigable rivers extending inland. The island's lush vegetation, a part of its mild climate and frequent rainfall, earns it the name of the Emerald Isle. Overall, Ireland has a mild but changeable oceanic climate with few extremes. Precipitation falls throughout the year. The west tends to be wetter on average and is prone to Atlantic storms, especially in the late summer and winter months. Ireland has an extensive network of is suitable only for walkers and horses to surface roads, including water. Still, for visitors coming to Ireland, driving along the road. First of all, in Ireland, we drive on the left side of the road, and then many of our roads are very narrow. Cork, where we are ministering, is a city in Ireland. It is located in the southwest region and in the province of Munster. With a population of about 120,000, it is the second largest city in the state and the third most populous on the island. The city is built on the River Lee, which divides into two channels at the western end of the city. The city center is located on an island created by the channels. The retail trade in Cork includes a mix of both modern, state-of-the-art shopping centers and family-owned shops. Department stores cater for all budgets, with expensive boutiques for women's London, and high-street stores are also available. Shopping centers can be found in many Cork suburbs, including Blackpool, Ballymolloy, Douglas, Ballyglen, Wilton, and Madden. Others are available in the city center. The predominant religion in Ireland is the Roman Catholic Church. About 85% of the population identify themselves as Roman Catholic. Ireland's constitution states that the state may not endorse any particular religion and guarantees the freedom of religion. But in practice, the Roman Catholic Church is very much involved in running the country. A large number of schools in Ireland are run by the Roman Catholic Church. RTE, the national radio and television station, stops at noon and 6 p.m. every day for the Anzus, Roman Catholic prayers. These are some pictures of the service we had. This service was after our children's Bible club, where we invited the parents of the children to come. And this Sunday we had about 80 people. We usually learn about 25 to 30 on a Sunday morning. These are some pictures of the children receiving their rewards at this special service.
I was saved about 13 years ago, and they had thrown the bridges and lost the business in it.
Joseph County, I don't have any other church here, and somebody has to say it, it's missing.
Hello, my name is Sam, this is for Suja, and this is for Lydia. You're so blessed to be part of our Baptist Church. Both of you, 100 kilometers away from here, you've been really blessed by the Lord to be able to come to this church and grow spiritually each and every day. And this church has been immensely gifted within us to grow the Lord and bring honor to His name. And thank you again for all your support and being part of bringing honor to our Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. Thank you all very much.
My name is Echo Lenny, I've been a part of the church for the last 15 years. It's nice to be here. I married my wife, just over 2 years ago, from the church in Wisconsin. And what goes well with it? And,
there's so many hard men.
Hello, everyone. My name is Owens. I've been a member of Parent Baptist Church for the past 11 or 12 years now. I've been saved, and me and my family. Thank you for that, and that would be a blessing to be a member of our Baptist Church and family as well.
Here are some pictures of baptisms. We do our baptisms in the River Lee. Each summer we run the children's Bible club for 1 week. We have about 40 to 50 children attend, and this is a big outreach for us. During the Bible club, the children memorize Bible verses, play games, watch skits and puppets and crafts, and have the Bible time. Here are some videos from our Bible club.
Thank you. done a number of large outreaches. Twice we have gotten a tract into every home in our city, and once we distributed a brochure about our church into every home in our city. Here are some pictures of an outreach to our whole county. We distributed a John and Romans, a tract, and a letter about our church to 170,000 homes. The John and Romans tract and letter about our church were put into an envelope, box, and then shipped to the post office, where they were mailed to the homes. Another outreach we did was that we initiated and organized a tract outreach to all of Ireland. Together with most of the other independent Baptist churches in Ireland, we mailed this tract to every home in Ireland. We mailed 1,700,000 tracts. While the tract was being distributed, we had this television ad on the national television station.
Seeing us, a group of independent Baptist churches intended to bring you to your home or your neighborhood. If you tell the secret, please call 01-451-5245.
In conclusion, we would like to thank you for your faithful support. Trust that God will richly bless you for your faithful support. Philippians 4:17 says, not because I desire to give, but I desire truth that may abound to your account. May God richly bless you with fruit to your account as you support us, the Smith family, in Ireland.
Okay. I was just wondering, if it's okay, I'll take some questions, Pastor.
Sure.
Anybody have any questions about the work, the family? I tell you everything except for my wife's age, because I'd get in trouble if I did that. Anybody have any questions? Nope.
How do you advertise for the kids club?
We put out invitations through the letterboxes in the houses. So the first time we did that, we put out 10,000 invitations. Anybody want to guess how many kids we got from that 10,000 invitations?
10.
10? Anybody else? We didn't get one. Not one. You probably noticed the children didn't look like your average Irish person in the children's clubs. I said, they are actually Irish because most of them were born there, but their parents are not Irish. The Irish parents don't allow their children to come, and that's heartbreaking for us. So pray for that, that God would just allow those children to come, because it's really sad that 75-80% of the population is not allowed to come, and the kids want to come. In those pictures there, there is only one child whose parents were Irish in all of those children. So that's very heartbreaking for us. We need just pray that God get a hold of the hearts of the people of Ireland. Pray that God would send people to come and work with us. We have done a lot of sowing and a lot of watering, and we're looking for God to give the increase. So who would say, I'll pray for somebody to come and work with you? Who's going to make a promise, okay? Praise the Lord. Let me tell you how I ended up coming to Ireland as a missionary. So I'm in Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I'm... that's why I've got this ring in my hand, to remind you. I have to remember things, but I wanted to tell you how I ended up becoming a missionary. So I put my ring in my hand so I wouldn't forget. I was in Emmanuel Baptist Church, and while I'm talking, you can turn to Matthew chapter 16. But I knew God called me to be a missionary, but I didn't know where. And I thought maybe I would end up going to Northern Canada or something. But we supported a missionary in Emmanuel, still do, by the name of Bob Zemeski. And he put in his prayer letter, pray that God would send Bible-believing, Bible-preaching missionaries to Ireland. So I began to fervently pray that God would send missionaries to Ireland, and pretty soon God said, okay, you go. So maybe you'll pray yourself to come and work with us. We are in a city of 120,000 people. That's in the city itself. And one university in our city alone has 25,000 students. And there's a number of other universities and colleges in our city. I am praying that God would send us somebody to come and work with these students. I say university students are like kids. They need a lot of one-on-one attention. Children thrive on attention, and so do university students. There's a great push for them to go into the world or to spend time studying. And so we really want somebody to come. And you see, the thing is, even after you get them saved, they're only going to be there for 3 more years, even if you get them saved in the first year. We had one young lady from Botswana. She came, she was a doctor, so it would have been 5 years or 6 years. And she would come, she came because we had other ones, and she'd sit like this every Sunday, you know. 6 months before she graduated, she got saved. And after that, she was like this. Just could eat it all up. I mean, why didn't you get saved the first year? But we had a lot of students, medical and dental students, coming. What happened is then we had a couple of young ladies from Singapore come and visit the church and start coming. And they were in their mini skirts and they got friends with all the guys. And I thought, okay, well, hopefully we can be able to help them. But what they did is they drew all the young guys away and drew the other people away from the church. So that was quite heartbreaking. So pray for us that God would give us somebody to come and work with us, to work with the students. Okay, let's take our Bibles and we'll turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. And we'll stand together for reading in God's Word, please. I'm going to read 2 verses. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and your word. We need the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, to challenge us, to rebuke us, to exhort us. Lord, I pray that I would be a blessing to each person here, but not just a blessing, but a challenge. And I pray that you get a hold of our hearts and do a mighty work that you would get the honor and the glory for. In Jesus' name, amen. I forgot to, please be seated. I forgot to ask Pastor, what time do we end at generally?
Generally by 8, but it's fine. Like we're not. We're
going to
sleep in tomorrow.
So. Well, amen. I don't mind sleeping in because I have been running crazy. I have to tell you, one time I was at a church, and I appreciate you giving me the time. One time I was at a church, and I said, as a big church, like, I'm thinking about 1,000 people. So I said to the pastor, well, how long do I have? He said, you have a couple of minutes. I said, you mean like 5? He said, no, a couple, 2. He said, you have the time from when the ushers come from the back of the church to the front of the church. So I'm glad you give me more than 2 minutes. So I want to preach this evening on losing and finding life, or the cross and then the crown. I don't know, do you young people know what the prosperity gospel is? Have you ever heard of that? There's a teaching that says if you just give, you're going to become rich, and there's going to be no problems in your life, and everything will just be okay. And the thing is, the people that say that say, send the money to me. And so somebody gets rich, and it's not the people that are sending the money. We had a fella in our church, and his wife started sending the money. And he told her, no, stop. But she kept doing it, and eventually she figured out, the scam. It's a scam. Listen, God said that if we're to be follow Him, we're to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow me. Now, the cross was a terrible, terrible death. What they would do is, well, you know, they would drive the nails in the hands and the feet, but they would bend their knees a little bit and their arms and then they would drop that cross down into a hole about 6 feet deep. And what would happen is when it went down, it would jerk like that, and the joints would come out. And so that would be extremely painful. And then when they hung like that, they couldn't exhale. You ever held your breath for a long time? Anybody ever held your breath for a long time? It hurts after a while, doesn't it? And you just gotta breathe. So what would happen is the person on the cross would have to pull up, and you'd have the nails in your hands, you'd have your elbows out of joint, your shoulders out of joint, so you'd be pulling on the ligaments. It'd be extremely painful. It was a long, slow, painful death. And God said, take up your cross. So, if you take up your cross, you know what it means? It's going to mean sometimes you're going to have to suffer. The Bible says, can anybody finish this for me? Fight the good fight of faith. That's it exactly. Now, I used to be a boxer. You might not look like a boxer anymore, where I'm almost 60, but I was a pretty good boxer. And you know, after you've been fighting for, you know, you might come up with a fat lip, or your nose might be bleeding, and your eye might be puffed up. That's what happens in fights. That's what happens. And sometimes the Christian life can be difficult. And so these people saying, well, God's going to make everything easy for you if you're a true Christian. That's not true. That's a lie from Satan. Now see if you can follow. The Bible says, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Anybody know? Suffer persecution. So these people saying, if you live godly, you're going to be rich and you won't have any problems. Is that what God says? No. So, God says, you must lose your life before you can find it. God says, before you get the crown, you must have the, what? Anybody? The cross. So, before the crown, you get the cross. So let me read you this. In order to see the connection of these verses, we must remember the mistaken impressions of our Lord's disciples as to the purpose of His coming. Like Peter, they could not bear the idea of the crucifixion. They thought that Christ had come to set up an earthly kingdom. They did not see that He must suffer and die. They dreamed of worldly honors and temporal rewards in their Master's service. They did not understand that true Christians, like Christ, must be made perfect through sufferings. Our Lord corrects this misapprehension in the words of peculiar solemnity with which we shall do to lay up well in our hearts. And what are we to lay up in our hearts? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, what he's saying is, come after me, is anybody wants to be a true Christian? You know, I've told people, some people, they said they're Christian. I said, no, you're not. He says, yeah, I'm saved. I said, yeah, you're saved, but you're not a Christian. You see, a Christian is a true follower of Jesus Christ. So you can be saved and not be really a Christian, you know. And so, if you were to be a real Christian, what do you got to do? Deny self, die to self, and take up your what? Go ahead.
Cross.
Now, what does it mean to deny self? And I'm going to give you two words, two big words, and it'll help you. Deny self-dependence and deny self-determination. God says, I can do all things what? Through Christ, which strengthens me. But you know what sometimes we do? We do it our own way. Now, in 1998, we drove across North America by God's grace in a motorhome. And I constantly prayed and said, Lord, I cannot drive around here without your help. And so God gave us safety. And then I got back to Ireland and I had this proud thought. I drove all across North America and didn't have an accident. I can drive here. And within 1 week, I had totaled the car. You see, when I drove across North America, I was depending upon God. When I got to Ireland, who was I depending upon? Myself. And God took His hand of protection off me And he said, okay, you drive. And as soon as I totaled the car, it's like God said to me, so you drove across North America, did you? And I said, no, Lord, I didn't. You did. But you know, God in his grace, even I only had that car 1 week, and I got about $1,000 more than I paid for it. That's God's grace. But see, sometimes we just do things without ever asking God to help us. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, sometimes preachers can come up and preach and not be depending upon God. Maybe your schoolwork, you can just do it and forget you need God's help. And then self-determination. What does self-determination mean? Anybody? You run your own show. You decide how you're going to live your life. And when you're doing that, you're not depending upon God, and you're not saying, okay, God, not my will, but thy will. Now I want to read you another quote. To deny ourselves is to put off our natural affections toward good things of this life, let them be pleasures, profit, honor, relations, or anything which would keep us from obedience to the will of God. We need to have God dependence and God determination. You know, you need, right now, even as young people, you need to say, God, not what I want in life, but you want. And sometimes it's not going to be easy, because remember, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. You know it's going to get more difficult for Christians? But God is there. And you know, let me say this. When we surrender and take up our cross, we deny self, because that's what he's supposed to do. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. But we deny ourselves for a higher purpose. Okay? You guys are going to school, right? You have to study. Would you rather be out playing in the barn and with the animals? None of you? I would have. Who? Do you ever feel like doing something besides studying? None of you? You're okay. But you know what you have to do? You have to deny self because you want to graduate one day, right? Exactly. And so you deny yourself for a higher purpose. The higher purpose for this is finish school. Because you don't want to be 30 still going to school, do you? Okay. Well, we're to deny ourselves for a higher purpose. Now, what in the world is the highest purpose? What's the highest purpose we can have? Anybody?
Serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord? Okay, anybody else? Whether you eat? The highest purpose is what?
To God's glory.
So I deny myself that I may bring God glory. So I deny myself and I take up the cross so that my life may give God glory. Now I don't know how God's going to use it. You know, sometimes some missionaries say, you know, you raise all this money and you go to a country, and then some people have just died right in the country. Like in Africa. Africa used to be known as the dark continent, the dark continent of death, because many missionaries went there, denied themselves, took up the cross, went to be a missionary, and only lasted a few months, and died. But God said their death was going to bring him glory. I thought when I went to Ireland, I was going to be this great missionary that was going to lead the whole island to the Lord. But you know what? You're in farming country, right? If somebody doesn't sow, you're not going to go around weeping, are you? So you go around reaping, right? But somebody has to sow. And when I got to Ireland, you know what I found out? Nobody ever heard the gospel there before. So for me to bring God and glory to God has been, God has used me to get 170,000 Gospel and John to our whole county, and then God used me to start up, and we got 1.7 million tracts to Ireland. That was sowing. But I had to say, okay, God, I'll deny myself, I'll take up my cross for a greater purpose. And the greater purpose is what again? To glorify God. You know, lots of people do it. Athletes deny self. I told you I used to be a boxer. Well, in boxing you have to make a weight class. And I used to be a wrestler. I came second in my province in wrestling. I hide that fine athletic body under this now. But you know what? I had to make a weight class. So what did I have to deny myself? Food. I love food. I enjoy eating. Pastor took me out for a meal. I liked it. I'm very sorry for spilling that water on you. That was terrible. It was an accident. But you know what? I loved food. But I denied that food because I wanted to get my hand lifted up. You see, at the end, you have one here and you have one here. The ref's got one hand and one hand there. And he says, the winner is in the blue corner. And then he lifts your hand up. You know what? I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, when I get to heaven. Amen? What a wonderful thing. So I'm willing to deny self, take up the cross, and glorify God so that I might hear, well done, and thou good and faithful servant. Could you imagine just the thrill of it? God says to you, you did good, well done. What a thrilling thought. But you're not going to hear that unless you, what do you first got to do? Deny self. Take up your cross and follow God. But sadly, you know what? We often don't deny ourselves. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit say, go witness to this person, and you say, okay, I'll do it later. And then the opportunity's gone. I've had that in my own life. Have you ever had that, Pastor? You see, you know what has to happen before you can deny self? The Bible says you're saved by grace through faith. Your whole Christian life is by grace through faith. Now, the reason we won't deny ourselves and take up a cross is because we don't go by faith. If I said to you, sorry, I can't remember your names. What's your name?
Garrison.
Garrison, if I said to you, if you give me $20, I'll give you $100. Would you give me the $20?
Would you?
Okay. You believe me then. You trust my character. You see, faith is trusting God's character. We trust three things. We trust God's character and He loves us. God in His love will always do us good. That's it. God in His love will always do me good. That's it. God in His love will always do me good. The reason I deny myself and take up my cross is that question God's character. And His love is His goodness to me.
The other thing we get questioned is God's omniscience. What's omniscience mean? Big word, isn't it? All knowing. We don't really trust that God knows what He's doing. And we don't trust that God is all powerful, omnipotent. So faith, listen, is trusting God's character. What stops me from denying self and taking up my cross is doubting God's character. If God said He'd work everything out for my good, didn't He? God said He loves me, didn't He? God is always good to me. God says He will lead me and guide me. God has the power to do it. So when I don't deny myself and take up my cross, what I'm saying is, God, I don't trust You. That'd be a terrible thing to say to God, wouldn't it? But we say it by our lives. Now notice this. This is voluntary. What does voluntary mean? doing it without being forced. God is not going to force you to do it. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's a choice. You have that choice. God's not going to make you do it. Some things your parents make you do, right? Sometimes they say, you can have a choice in the matter. God is giving you this choice. But I want you to know something. If you don't make the right choice, you're not worthy of God. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Verse 38. And it says, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Oh dear, that's a very hard thing. Now I want to show you something else. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And verse 23. And he said unto them all. Now, what does all mean? It's a two-letter word. Ending in E. All is a two-letter word ending in E. Sorry? A two-letter word ends in E. What?
Me?
No. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M. All means me. So who's he talking to? Who's he talking to?
Me.
Me. So he's talking to me, because all includes me, doesn't it? So he's talking to me. And he said, unto them all, and that means who?
Me.
If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, the Bible says we're to be a living sacrifice. But the problem with a living sacrifice is it can get off the altar. It can crawl right off the altar. So God says you're to take up your cross when?
Daily.
Every single day, I must take up my cross and follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Now, your pastor and I were talking this afternoon. We're talking about just different things, like Christians that drink alcohol. What's the problem? They're not taking up the cross and following Him. Following Him means I'm going to dress the way God says I should dress. I'm going to do the things that God says to do. I'm not going to do the things that God says not to do. Because I'm going to what? Follow Him. Now, if you will do this, let's go back to our text verse, Matthew. The Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. God says, when you say, I will have self-dependence and self-determination, you think you're saving your life, but you're actually losing it. And God says, when you will depend upon me, and let me be in control and tell you what to do, you're going to gain it. Now, if you have $100 and you lose it, is that a good or a bad thing? Bad thing. I've done that. We were really, really poor, and we had 20 pounds left. And I went out to the city, and I lost 20 pounds. But God gave us money just that next day. But it was a terrible feeling to lose the last bit of money I had. Now, if you have $100 and you get another $100, you've got $200 and you gain. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Good thing. Now God says, if you will try to keep your life, you're going to what? Lose it. Because you can't keep care of it. I mean, you know, when my kids were young, they sometimes people would give them money, and they'd say, "Dad, will you keep this for me?" And I looked after it, because I was able, and they weren't. When you try to look after your own life, you know what you end up with? You end up with a mess. But God says, if you give me your life, you will gain it. Now, I just think this is a fantastic verse. Look at Psalm 16. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the paths of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You know what most Christians are doing? They're looking for pleasures here and now. The pleasures of the world, the Bible calls it sin for a season, you know? They might seem pleasurable, but, you know, in the end, they're like a snake. You play with a snake long enough, you know what's going to happen? It's going to bite you. Sin will bite you. And so many Christians think they can get away with living wrong down here, and in the end, it bites them. But God says, look at this. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Now, think about this. If I had a cup and I had water in it up to here, is it full? No. There could be more water. If I put it there, would it be full? Only if it's like that is it full. God says there's so much joy in heaven, you don't have room for any more. But the devil says, try and find joy down here in earth. Now there is joy. God gives us joy as a Christian. But the devil tries to get you to find pleasures down here. And the Bible says, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, down here you have the cross. But up in heaven you get the crown. Down here, there's you take up your cross daily and follow Him. In heaven, there's joy and pleasures forevermore. What a wonderful thought that is. You see, God wants you to look at the eternal, not the temporal. Temporal means things that are going to pass away. You know, one day this building is going to be gone. That's not my truck, but Pastor Buchert has a lovely truck. But you know, one day that's going to be gone. You know what's down here is temporal. But you know, the things that are spiritual are eternal. So, I take up my cross and I follow Him and I do the things that are spiritual and I lay up treasures in heaven forevermore. What a wonderful thing, isn't it? Imagine if I had $100 bills, okay? I got $1,000 bills. That's a lot of money, right? And I get a paper sack and I say, I want to look after this money. I don't want to lose it. And so I dig a hole and I put my sack, my money in the sack, and then I bury it up and I go back 10 years later. And you know what's gone? My money's all gone. Because it'd just be wasted. And that's what it's like living for yourself here on this world. You just waste your whole life. Could you imagine? Now you're young and you think life's going to last and last and last, but could you imagine if you died and God looks at your life and He judges it and it all burns up? What a terrible thought, wouldn't that be? And unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him, that's exactly what's going to happen. You know what God wants from us? He wants us to have ourselves, to dedicate ourselves to Him. There's a time, each one of you, there's a one time event in your life where you come to that conclusion that I must die to myself and my own will and say, God, here's my life. I give it to You. Maybe you've already done that, but if you haven't, you need to do it. But then, sometimes, we have done that, but then we forget to keep doing it every day. So, I'm here to say to you this. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him, and your life will count for all eternity. I'm almost 60 years old. I'll be 60 years old next year. You know what? I got saved when I was 17. So how long have I been saved for? 43 years. I've been saved for 43 years. And you know what? I am so thankful that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm so thankful I said, okay, Lord, here's my life. You take care of me. You look after me. I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. And you know what? He's led me and guided me. And I'm so thankful for it. So I trust that each one of us will come to that decision in our own life, that we will deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Pastor?
Thank you, Brother Smith. And yeah, that's certainly something we want to recognize, just the need to... The Lord wants to bless our lives, and but it's too often we want to hold on to him and we miss out on his great blessings. And so, very good message. So let's turn to one last song. Let me see if I can find it here. I was trying to find the one that starts, "Take up my cross and follow me. I heard my Savior say." I don't know if it's in here. I don't see it. That's too bad. Let's see. I think I've got a different one here. Let's see. Number 397. Let's sing that one. That's a good one. 397, "I've decided to follow Jesus." And so it is something that... because we can spend our whole life as believers and never... like really miss out on the life he has for us if we don't make that decision to actually follow him and deny ourselves. And so may the Lord help each of us to make that decision, and to daily, really each day, if we make each day where we start out by dying, that's when we really start living. So number 397, "I've decided to follow Jesus," and we can all stand as we sing.